Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, the 6th day of December, 2021. I want to thank all the folks for tuning in. Thank you so very much. Please pass this, share this program, this episode, this link to everyone you know. This is important. Here we are in at the cusp of a dark winter. A dark winter that was predicted back in June of 2001 by way of Operation Dark Winter. I do suspect there's some things on the horizon. By the way, thank you so much, patron members. Thank you so much for Patreon members. Thank you so much for being patrons and for joining me last night. Had an excellent discussion. I want to thank Randy Taylor for joining me last night, as well as Celeste Salome. A lot of great information. Of course, Matt, Kevin, and really everyone, thank you so very much for being part of that group. And Eric the Tech for setting that up. Eric the Tech, it's Monday. How are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, they're doing good. As usual, manna, many words, right? Succinct to the point, though. All right, going to get right into it. I want you to remember these names. I every single program, I want names. I want people to understand who is pushing for this one world, not Christian government, this consolidation of power, this crap that we're seeing, these lockdowns. Have you seen the blowback on the cable news networks? Of course not. You haven't seen the blowback. You haven't seen the blowback in Italy, in Germany, in Austria, in Australia. You haven't seen any of that on your cable news networks. No. And you may see it on social media until they stop showing it, until they censor it off. But Google, Larry Page, Robert Mercer, Renaissance Fund, let's name names. I like naming names. Klaus Schwab, of course, the grand poobah of things. Lawrence Fink, chairman and CEO of BlackRock. Again, Lawrence Fink, chairman and CEO of BlackRock. Al Gore behind this, of course, on the climate change side. Yo-Yo Ma. Again, I think of the Seinfeld episode. That's right. Mark Zuckerberg, Metaverse, Facebook. Bill Gates, Microsoft, of course, right up there with Klaus Schwab and George Soros. And my personal favorite, because Dr. David Martin talks about him, Dustin Moskovitz, Open Philanthropy. In organizations, organizations, for example, like Answer, A-N-S-E-R, Fors Marsh, Palantir, Peter Thiel, the Gotham data tracking, Publicis Sapient, which is the Health and Human Services IT branch, Publicis Sapient. And of course, the more well-known in front of those, hence called front groups, or the front organizations of Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, of course, we know those, Gilead Sciences, and Merck Ridgeback. So they're naming some names. But as I start out with Operation Dark Winter, is it going to get darker this winter? I think it will in a number of respects. But let's take a look at the original Dark Winter just very briefly, because there's some lessons here and there's some names here and there's some setup, some foundational work here. June 22nd and 23rd, 2001, less than 3 months before 9/11, the Pentagon launched a war game named Operation Dark Winter at Andrews Air Force Base. During this war game scenario, they emphasized the military's earnest commitment to bioweapon vaccines. Now, okay. A guy by the name of Robert Kadlec, K-A-D-L-E-C, the lead organizer of this pandemic simulation, Operation Dark Winter, he also named it Operation Dark Winter. Now, if you haven't gotten the book by RFK Jr., The Real Dr. Fauci, this information is in that book, and you need to really understand this part of it because this provides you some foundational context for what we're seeing today. But go back to June of 2001, the tabletop scenario. And I know you heard this, InfoWars, they did a great job. I know you've heard this I believe, COVID land, in other places. But just to drill down a little bit more, this Operation Dark Winter simulated an attack, a smallpox attack, actually, on U.S. locations, starting in Oklahoma City. The participants explored strategies for imposing coercive quarantines. That's what this was all about. This wasn't about health, saving people. No. Coercive quarantines, censorship, mandatory masking, lockdowns. By the way, what are we seeing today? Sound familiar? Okay. Vaccinations and compelled vaccinations. This also looked into expanding police powers as the only rational responses to that particular scenario, that pandemic of smallpox. This is Operation Dark Winter. The failure that they identified after this tabletop simulation was the failure to quickly implement countermeasures, which permitted this galloping spread of the Pentagon's imaginary smallpox epidemic to overwhelm America's response capabilities, precipitating mass civilian casualties. In other words, what they're saying is the pushback by the people. They didn't do this soon enough. And of course, a lot of people died. A lot of people died from misinformation, disinformation. Yeah, right. Okay. The Dark Winter exercise, it predicted many of the aspects of what we're seeing today, foreshadowing what we're seeing exactly today. These are germ games, of course. Now, among the people involved in this was Senator Sam Nunn, at that point the Senate Defense Committee's longtime chairman. Now, that added a bit of realism to the scenario, the war games back, the germ games, Operation Dark Winter, all right? But there was a lot of CIA and NSA and, not at that time DHS, but soon to be DHS suits there. And the CIA involvement was consistent. It was a consistent feature of this and all subsequent simulations. Other people in that exercise included Cadillac's fellow intelligence officer and War College professor, Colonel Randall Larson, USAF. And he was a career bioweapons expert who helped choreograph the exercise. He appeared in its fictional scripted news clips. The CIA's former director also involved James Woolsey. He was a participant and an organizer. And as was a pharmaceutical industry lobbyist and biological weapons expert. This one just kills me. Tara O'Toole. She is a director of the CIA hedge fund InQtel. Now remember that name, Tara O'Toole, director of the CIA hedge fund InQtel. The CIA's former deputy director for science and technology, Ruth David Hopkins, bioterrorism expert Tom Inglesby, and New York Times journalist Judith Miller. Again, remember those names. They, by the people that they corralled into this exercise, they granted this exercise legitimacy, obviously, at least within the intelligence arena venues. Now, I mentioned Tara O'Toole. O'Toole is a biodefense enthusiast, co-founder of the Johns Hopkins Center for Civilian Biodefense Studies and the executive vice president of the CIA's investment arm, as I said, InQtel. I just want to drive that point home. What's InQtel? It is an organization. It's the vector by which the U.S. intelligence services infiltrate startup firms on the cutting edge of technological innovation. They've got so many inroads into these organizations, into private organizations, which is why I mentioned, of course, Publis Sapient, which is a corporation involved in the IT work for HHS. Answer, of course, I'm going to be getting that momentarily here. But Obama in 2009, this Tara O'Toole, in 2009, Obama nominated O'Toole for Undersecretary for Science and Technology at the Department of Homeland Security. And during the nomination process, this is important because she was criticized for concealing her role as, now understand this, you got to follow the money, strategic director of a pharmaceutical industry lobbying group known as Alliance Biosciences. So she's involved in these germ games and also a lobbyist for a pharmaceutical lobbying group, Alliance Biosciences. And Alliance is an unincorporated corporate front which was created by a guy that has ties to a laboratory in Ohio that was one of three laboratories where perhaps the anthrax of 2001, November or October, came from. And his name is Ibrahim El Hibri. Well, Ibrahim El Hibri and his partner, former Joint Chiefs Chair Admiral William Crow, you can't make this up, okay? These war games, these germ games precipitated, obviously, the October 2001 anthrax attacks. Alliance, I should add, has no tax filing and operates out of a K Street influence shop. The congressional record shows that Alliance is a so-called stealth lobbying firm that spent $500,000 in a five-year period from 05 to 09, pitching Congress and DHS to pour more money into biodefense expenditures, specifically for anthrax vaccines, which, as I mentioned, Ibrahim El Hibri was his specialty. But O'Toole's nomination to undersecretary at the Department of Homeland Security, that was objected to by many people, including a microbiologist by the name of Richard Ebright, who said she was the single most extreme person either in or out of government advocating for a massive biodefense expansion and relaxation of provisions for safety and security. He also said she makes Dr. Strangelove look sane. Pretty strong words there. And again, this information is deep and it drills down. You know, you hear about Operation Dark Winter, but you really don't know the backstory. The backstory is oftentimes left pretty shallow. Let's talk about what's going on today now. Well, like any good, I understand our children are under attack. Understand there will be additional lockdowns. What you see in Israel, what you see in Australia, you know, Israel, Australia, all of that is coming here. Austria, it's coming here. The European, what's taking place in the European Union, Germany, it's coming here. Now, I want to go to clip 5. You probably don't have that one. Can we go to clip 5? All right. This, earlier today, this was Bill de Blasio, key to New York City. Look, we are going to, because of the Omicron variant, we are going to lock you down even harder. And as a matter of fact, Bill de Blasio, New York City, key to New York City, key to NYC, we are going to make sure, well, we're going to follow the playbook of other countries. You know, people said that this is not happening here, can't happen here, won't happen here. It's happening right before our very eyes. If we can start that at 4 minutes, it's a news conference held earlier today. There's a lot of crap about, oh, Omicron. It's, you know, it's a whole bunch of stuff. We have to do something. Let's go ahead and start 4 minutes into this. Here it is.
Success with very few problems. You know, there's been a few challenges, but not many. So we now are going to deepen that effort by requiring all employees and patrons to have from 12 years old and up, two doses. And that will take effect on December 27th. Because the idea is everyone by that point who has gotten their first dose, if you've gotten your first dose by now, you're going to be able to get your second dose by then.
Oh,
we got
two doses
up the ante
now.
Here. We want to also encourage folks to get that second dose. Vast majority of New Yorkers do, and that's good news. But we've got to encourage people even more. Get that second dose, because that's what gives you so much more protection. So two doses for all the key to NYC businesses starting December
27th,
employees and customers.
My adoptive parents.
Oh, for the love of Pete. Okay. Thank you, you know, so much. Can you, or do, we can't, can we pass that or no? All right. John Moore is joining me here momentarily. By the way, folks, I just want to mention this. I want to thank our corporate sponsors, including especially Lightstream. You know, the holidays are here. This year, give yourself extra money, the gift of extra money in your pocket, folks. Pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to tell you what, these folks have helped my family out through credit card consolidation loans. They've done a great job with a lot of my friends. I tell my friends about this. My niece, my wife's niece, actually saved between $700 and $800 a month. That's right, in credit card payments. I mean, whittled that down by $700 or $800 a month, and actually was saving a ton of interest. And actually, she's out of debt now, thanks to Lightstream.com/Hagman. So roll your high-interest credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. We still have to take care of business, regardless of how dire things get out there. Get a loan from $5,000 to $5,000 to $100,000. There are no fees, and you can even get your money. It's the same day that you apply. And you know what? Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Again, these are great people. I would not tell you they're... I'm telling you what, they've helped a lot of people that I know, and I appreciate them for helping out you as well. And just for my listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's LightStream. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. That's HAGMANN, subject to credit approval. Rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto-pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. I'm telling you, you're going to be glad you did on lightstream.com/Hagman. Thank you so much for helping our listeners and viewers out. All right. So we were into that New York City de Blasio video. Can we just continue with this and then we'll bring John on? All right, here we go.
It's going to keep people safe. And we want to see people go out and get their second doses right now if they qualify. Remember, with the holidays, with the cold weather, if you haven't gotten your second dose and you qualify, this is exactly the time to get it. You should feel urgency because the challenge of COVID is about to get greater. Now, another point on Key to NYC, thinking of the youngest New Yorkers, the vaccination for the 5 to 11-year-olds. It's just begun the last few weeks. Already we've gotten over 127,000 New York City kids in that age range vaccinated. That's great. It's a little over 19% of all the kids in that group. Considering it's brand new, that's good, and it's better than the national rate, but it's not enough, obviously. We need to see a lot more. We need to see
now,
kids getting vaccinated in that
thought.
Age group.
Okay.
Parents, we need
thought.
You to step
you
up for the
going.
Good of your children, your
but,
family,
hey,
all
December
of us.
14th.
Go get your child vaccinated. So
five
we're going to include them in the Key to NYC, the guidelines for Key to NYC, starting on December 14th. So this is, again, one dose now because it's a new vaccination. That gives parents plenty of time. We've been having vaccination drives in schools. We're in the middle of our second round in every single elementary school in New York City, every school with 5 to 11-year-olds. This will be the second time around, started last week, continuing this week. If you're a parent, you want to get your kid vaccinated, it's so simple. It could be at your own school, or it could be in many, many locations nearby your home. This is something that's going to keep kids safe and families safe. Go get your child vaccinated. So long as they've gotten
that first dose by December 14th. Let's go to 7 minutes, 30 seconds. I want you to see this. But remember, beginning December 14th, 5 to 11-year-olds. Now, this is the other announcement. Vax mandate for private sector employees. So you've got the mayor of New York City saying, we demand that all employers, every business with employees, you got to get this jab starting December 27th. This will apply, by the way, in, as you can see, to 184,000 businesses under his tyrannical thumb. So do you see what's happening here? All right, very quickly before we bring John on, I want him to see this too. Let's go to clip number one. This is Laura Ingraham. Again, there are 28 million 5 to 11-year-olds in this country. Well, this is self-explanatory. Let's go to clip one. Laura Ingraham, watch out for the volume at the beginning. It kind of jumps out at you, so I'm just warning you in advance. Here it is.
Well, that begs the question of what their motivation really is. And Dr. Fauci was on cable news earlier this week taking this all a step further and pushing vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. Watch.
It's important for the children. We have 28 million children from 5 to 11 years old who will benefit personally from a health standpoint. The safety profile is really quite good. Our FDA, particularly when it comes to children, are very, very scrupulous in figuring out whether or not we have a benefit-risk ratio that's favorable.
Oh, Dr. Risch, he's contradicting what Dr. Malone just said about the benefit-risk analysis. So where is Fauci getting this wrong?
He's believing the CDC, what the CDC says. The CDC is in total denial over the amount of adverse events that have occurred from these vaccines. They played it down. They used the VAERS, which underreports. We have an inkling of this because when Pfizer presented to the FDA about the 5 to 11's data from their randomized trial, there was a slide that showed the Optum database information on myocarditis, which was four times what the VAERS showed. And the study on athletes also showed that asymptomatic myocarditis is four times the number of actually diagnosed myocarditis. So we're talking about 16-fold larger numbers of myocarditis in young people. And this is just totally being repressed or distorted by the CDC and the FDA.
16-fold for those children jabbed. 16-fold. Not 16%, 16 times. And de Blasio is mandating this. What's he going to do? How's he going to enforce that? Let's say in a homeschool situation, how's he going to enforce that? You know, this comes, de Blasio is doubling down, comes at a time when Advent Health Services says, no, you know what, we're not going to mandate our employees. And I believe yesterday or over the weekend, I believe this to be true, Cleveland Clinic, the health system there said, no, we're not going to mandate our employees. And of course, the American Heart Association comes out and says, hey, we got to look into these heart issues, the problems with the heart problems. And of course, that gets labeled as dangerous misinformation on Twitter, ultimately gets censored off of Twitter by that Twitter czar. By the way, Fauci, let's make this trend. I ask everybody, let's make this trend. We had a couple of years ago, You remember, Eric the Tech, you remember Donnie Brasco, the film, right? And yes. Joe Pistone. He was on. Great guy. He went undercover. He was Donnie Brasco, Joe Pistone. We had him on as a guest. Forget about it. Forget about it. But anyway, let's make this go viral. Let's a new name for Fauci. Forget Garden Gnome. That's too cute. Dr. Fugazi. Fugazi. You know what Fugazi is, right? Remember from Donnie Brasco? Fugazi? Fugazi? Fake. That's Fugazi. When he was looking at the stone, at the diamond in that bar. No, that's Fugazi. It's fake. Fugazi is fake. Dr. Fugazi, let's make that trend. Let's make it go viral, please. I don't ask much, do I? Dr. Fugazi. Okay, one more, and then John, I want John to come on, and but I want you to hear this. Again, 5 to 11-year-olds, new business, tyrannical lockdowns. But listen to this about the most precious of our assets, our children. This is clip two. This is about 2 minutes in length. This is the disclosure of heart problems from the post the Fugazi shot. We'll name that too, Fugazi shot. Again, citing Donnie Brasco. You got to see that if you haven't seen that movie, Donnie Brasco. We had Joe Pistone on. Great guy. Great film. Dr. Fugazi. This is his legacy, or will be his legacy, and history will not be kind to him. Roll clip two.
Yeah, I can tell you that the difference is I have the advantage of practicing medicine. So I'm seeing and examining patients, and I'm having these patients brought forward. So in the setting of the vaccine, the children take the vaccine. They get really sick with chest pain and signs and symptoms of heart failure. They go into emergency rooms, and then they're hospitalized, and then they have all the findings that I've described. With COVID-19, the illness, the vast majority of the children are never examined by anybody. They actually don't come forward for anything because it's so mild. Mm-hmm. So the vast majority of COVID-19 stays in the home. The child would never come into any type of framework to be examined. So what's happening is, in the severe cases of COVID-19 where people are hospitalized, and there's relatively few children that are hospitalized, far more adults, there is literature generated in the adults. If someone with COVID-19 serious enough to be in the ICU, there's about a 50% chance that the cardiac troponin, the blood test for heart injury, will be elevated above the upper limit of normal. But these are very small elevations in troponin. They don't have any of the other characteristic features of myocarditis. They don't have dramatic EKG changes. They don't have early signs and symptoms of heart failure. And in fact, the Chinese were reporting this very early on in the pandemic. And we see troponin elevations, by the way, with pneumococcal pneumonia, with staphylococcal sepsis. It's basically ICU stress. And a troponin elevation is what's being described in COVID-19, the respiratory illness, as opposed to Form-Frust clinical myocarditis in children. They're two completely different syndromes. They can't be construed with one another at all. And they have a different detection base, right? So everybody in the ICU is going to have a troponin checked, as well as a CBC and other labs. The children at home, they are developing pretty severe symptoms where the parents finally pull the trigger and bring their child into the ER. So the discovery bias, so we can't say it's rare and we can't say it's mild. The only way we can ever find out how frequent it is check all the children. And there probably should be studies to check every child who gets a vaccine, to check the cardiac troponin, EKG, and other studies. Many think the threshold of risk is so sufficiently high that we shouldn't even do that research, that the children should not receive the vaccines.
And there you go. End of story. Again, the level of denial, the mass psychosis that's taking place right now, especially by the left, is just absolutely astounding. And talking about that for many times, many weeks, for quite a while, is a guy that has on his website all of the important assets, the links to documents, the papers, the videos, all about this, columns of links. TheLibertyMan.com. That's the place to go for John Moore. John Moore, the web presence for John Moore. And by the way, he does a 3-hour radio show Monday through Friday, just off from that earlier today. I'm going to tell you what, his programs are very informative. He's got a great lineup of guests, And there it is. If you're watching this, you can see it on your screen. Just click on that for the most recent program and drill down. Click through that to drill down into archived programs. But so I urge everyone to support John and to support his work. He's amassed a great number of very, very good links on his website, especially about this issue. But the bigger picture here is, and again, and John and I have spoken about this mass psychosis, the fact that global public health advocates that we have out there are accuse Bill Gates and Dr. Fugazi of hijacking the public health agenda for their personal profit, for their personal gain, and for other agendas, including but not limited to depopulation. This is what's taking place right now. They're working with their multinational corporations, partners, and pharmaceuticals, and the people I mentioned, using the companies I mentioned, including, at least in my assessment, Publicis, Sapient, Google, of course, Alphabet, Twitter, Facebook, all of these standard places to push this agenda. John Moore, thanks for your patience. Don't worry about the program clock. You got lots of time, and I appreciate you coming on with me.
Doug, thank you. It's always good to be with you, sir.
Man.
I'm glad we have this topic. We are in the middle of World War III here. It's not obvious to hardly anybody except listeners to alternative media like your show, my show, our fellow broadcast journalists in the alternative media. Speaking of which, Stu Peters, 3 days ago, yep, released a video interview with Dr. Arianna Love, and she provides documentation about something we have not heard about before, at least I haven't.
Hydrogel.
Wireless nanosensors.
Yep.
Wireless nanosensors in the COVID vaccine clot shots.
I watched that video earlier today. Yep. Go ahead.
And a lot more than that. But that really got my attention. I'm a ham radio operator, and I know about wireless radio more than a lot of non-ham people. And I find it really scary, Doug, that they've put this in these clot shots. Your clips just now of the mayor of New York City trying to scare people even more. I'm not sure what scare tactics are left. It's been almost 2 years ago. They set up MASH hospital units, tents in Central Park to take care of the overload of people with COVID. And of course, nobody showed up. At the same time, they had a hospital ship in New York Harbor to take care of the regular patients because the hospitals be full of COVID patients. Well, nobody showed up. Same thing on the West Coast, another hospital ship to take care of the regular patients because the hospitals would be full of COVID patients. How long do they think they can keep fooling us, Doug? Now, you mentioned something you and I need to address a little bit. How are they going to enforce the clot shots on youngsters?
Let's talk about that because I want to know the same thing. Because I'm going to tell you something, John, all right? I believe this to be the case. All right. If I had grandchildren living under my roof, and I know I'm not going to speak for anyone else. This is just me. And they came to jab my grandchildren, or if I was young enough to have children, well, I guess I still am. Enough. Eric the tech over there making comments. They come at me with a needle, or after my children with a needle. Lead is coming their way, high velocity lead. Now, look, I would not expect to survive, okay? But I'm telling you what, I'm going to make a few widows and perhaps widowers out of those coming at me. John, how are they going to enforce this, please? Because without that happening, without that exact scenario, because I can't be alone in this thinking, maybe I am, or I don't know. Where have all the men gone? Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, if these children are enrolled in public schools or private schools, that would certainly be a way to enforce that they would prohibit them from going to school if they didn't have the clot shot. As far as homeschoolers, I'm not sure how they could do that. If they knew the the identity of the parents of the children, which they probably are databases that show that they could have various punishments or fines or some incentive on the parents of the children who are not vaccinated. That would be another hook there. Public housing would be another hook. If you live in New York City public housing, there would be a requirement that the children be vaccinated, or you would be your housing would be terminated, and you would no longer be allowed to live there. If you receive public assistance of any kind from the city of New York, the state of New York, that would be another handle they could use to enforce vaccination of the children upon punishment of losing the public subsidy that the mother or the father might be receiving. So there's multiple ways that they could enforce this, Doug, to put a lot of pressure on parents from different ways. And I would think a lot would probably give in, seeing if you're living on public assistance, welfare, you have public housing, you have no marketable job skills, you can barely speak, read or write the English language. You may feel really stuck and compelled to do this, Doug. I can see that being the case for many tens of thousands of New York City moms and dads. What do you think, Doug?
Well, yeah, I suppose. But again, I go back to the issue. If we have to do this, or if they have to do this, I believe they're losing control of the narrative, because now they've got to get this done before the effects or the impact of this satanic jab, this Fugazi shot, is made known. I believe that there is a latent, there's a latency period in many cases, not all, but many cases, there's a latency period between a time that a person is injected and illness, whether it be from a heart issue or a vascular issue or a breathing issue or a neurological issue. So having said all of that, they've got to get this done before that becomes so big that they can't deny this. So
I agree, Doug, and I've been saying that for much of this year. They have some measure of control over social media, Facebook and Twitter and so forth. Here's what they don't have control over: families gathering together. And between Thanksgiving and New Year's, that's when the majority of family get-togethers take place. The coffee shops, the barber shops, the beauty shops, workplaces, church, all these places where people have interacted for centuries. They can't control that, Doug. And when these people get together and start sharing stories and comparing notes, that's when people will start figuring out, in the absence of Facebook, in the absence of Twitter, what's been going on with their families, with their neighborhoods, with their communities, because people will share information face-to-face, person-to-person, as we've done forever. And they're trying to get ahead of the curve on this, Doug, because they're about to lose. They really are really close to losing. The make-believe pandemic is being exposed. And the fear factor is their attempts to ramp it up, I think, will be unsuccessful, Doug. I really do. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Okay, I wouldn't put – here's – I've been wrestling with this. Obviously, I'm more struck for words today than I've been in the past, but which is saying a lot. You know what I'm kind of concerned about? I'm kind of concerned about some again, I mentioned Dark Winter, okay, earlier. I mentioned Dark Winter, the exercise in June of 2001 with a smallpox smallpox weapon being released. The fact that they found smallpox vials in Montgomery County outside of Philadelphia, or vials that were labeled smallpox, the fact that back in 01, they did not get rid of these smallpox vials and stockpiles, but instead urged, and the federal government purchased more quote, vaccines, and in fact, sickened many with their smallpox vaccines, as well as anthrax vaccines. But that aside, there's something else I'm worried about here. I'm worried about something else being released deliberately as a depopulation move, as well as a fear to increase the fear move. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Your thoughts on this? I mean, what do you think about this? Because we've been hearing a lot about.
Well, Doug, let's reverse engineer this a little bit. First of all, I believe the smallpox vials were found in two different locations, apparently in proper storage and apparently forgotten about. So my question, Doug, is how and why did a routine administrative matter of locating a vial of smallpox, two vials in two different locations, how and why did a routine administrative matter become national news? How did that happen? Instead of the people in charge at those two locations saying, oh, look what we found, let's properly dispose of it. Why would that be, how and why would that become national news? Well, my answer is it became national news because they wanted it to become national news instead of a routine administrative matter of taking something properly stored, although forgotten about, and properly dealing with it in either keeping it in proper storage or disposing of it in a proper and safe manner and not making it newsworthy. So that's the beginning point, Doug, is how these two stories popped up at the same time. Now, that nothing in the stories told me that the vials of smallpox were improperly stored in an unsafe manner in the wrong place. Let's say that they were stored in a high school science laboratory. Now, that would obviously be improper and wrong. But no, there was no mention made in either story that the people in charge were doing anything improper, other than the paperwork apparently got lost and the vials had been forgotten about, even though they were under the control of people who had that kind of authority. They were locked up properly away from any unauthorized hands. That should have been a routine administrative matter, Doug, to take the forgotten about vials that were properly stored, safely stored, and dealing with it in a proper and safe manner to either destroy them or ship them off to some place like Manhattan, Kansas, where we now have the facility from Plum Island has been moved there. So that's my question to you, Doug, is how did this routine administrative matter become national news?
That's a great question, because they wanted it to become national news.
Precisely.
But you know what? I mean,
you're a smart guy, Doug. Thank you.
Yeah, right. believe me, I'm not. But I got to tell you, because what would be news then would be the United States really kind of not able to find or account for 6 thermonuclear weapons, by the way. They just can't find them. Is that news? No. This is.
Now, if the smallpox vials had been found in the desk of an office employee, not properly stored, not properly safeguarded, now that would have been and should have been national news. But that's not what the news was. And I read these stories, and I'm sure you read them too. There was no mention whatsoever of the vials not being properly stored, not being properly safeguarded. That was not in those news stories because, well, obviously it wasn't the case.
Well, now, so what are we to make of this? This and everything else, because
it's a narrative. It's a narrative put forth by people who want to instill fear, more fear on top of the fear we've previously had. Now, this is the 24th month. December is the 24th month of this make-believe pandemic going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you folks who were watching this in January of 2020, watching the people walk down the sidewalk in China, fall down face first, bleed out and die from the COVID, watch those videos again. I did, with discernment. Watch with discernment, and you'll see that the hands of the person falling down, just before their face smashes the concrete, they catch themselves with their hands. So that was make-believe also. That's what got this whole thing started, along with the videos of authorities in China welding shut the doors and windows of apartment buildings of people who had COVID. authorities in villages are setting up roadblocks to keep people out of the village. That's where the beginning point. And I'll tell you, Doug, I was on my first and probably only Caribbean cruise with about a dozen of my listeners. I found it just as scary. And I took a mental inventory of my protective equipment, my gas mask, my Tyvek suits and N95 mask and all that stuff. I knew I had plenty. And as soon as I got back, I shipped up some to my daughter and her family in Seattle. Because at the time in January and February 2020, it looked pretty darn real to me. And I acted what I thought was responsibly and appropriately. That was January, February. By March, I was saying the following. I believe the vaccines are already in the refrigerators. That's what I was saying by March, because what I was seeing wasn't adding up. It didn't make sense, what I was seeing. What was going on, what was being reported, the activities that were taking place. I watched a testing facility being set up on the parking lot of a Mercy Hospital Clinic in St. Louis County. And I drove past her a number of times. I had a buddy that drove past her to report to me. There was never any cars. There were people being tested. After about 2 months, they finally took the tents down and went home. And there was multiple reports as we went into March, April, May, June, July, of leaks coming out, such as, I think it was August of 2020, the state of Washington admitted publicly that every firearms death was listed officially as a COVID death. Little things like that kept popping up here and there and everywhere. Now what I'm doing personally, Doug, and I've got private individuals known to me, private associates, who are inquiring with Batesville Casket Company in Batesville, Indiana. Hey guys, how many coffins are you building now, percentage-wise, on top of what you normally build in a given year? What we're finding is about a 25 to 30% increase in coffin manufacturing. The funeral directors, I have contacts with probably half a dozen funeral homes. How many funerals over and above what you normally do are you seeing? Once again, 25, 30% increase in funerals.
So we're talking excess deaths now?
Excess deaths.
All right, thank you. I could from, get that out of my
from mind. The COVID clot shots, Doug.
Right, exactly. Because a couple things. I just want to recap what you said, fear, okay? Governments, by the way, love epidemics, pandemics, just the same way that they like war. It's really a chance to impose their will and get us all scared so that we huddle together and do what we're told. And also, fear is a market to instill fear in people. Also has advantages, not only in terms of drug use. Anxiety is a anxiety-driven people are easier to motivate. You said that yourself. Okay, so now one more thing. Because you go back to Operation Dark Winter, which a lot of people talk about that really haven't drilled down into the people and the people who are still there that were involved in this. There are dual use facilities. So although the Geneva Convention and the bioweapons rules disallow us from creating things like a smallpox like virus, if you're creating a vaccine for a smallpox-like virus, you can go ahead and create that virus only under the auspices of creating a vaccine to kill that, you know, in vitro, right? So that's kind of the theory. So there's something else going on, and I think you nailed it. And I think your early observations were right on the money, by the way. Go ahead, sir. I just want to recap that.
Before this hour gets away, I need to mention we need to do a segue here to the People's Republic of China. I know several people that teach English as a second language to Chinese in China by video conference. My one friend I spoke to yesterday, he said, John, our semester is about to end. My Chinese students are telling me they're going to be donating blood. Now, that's a bit unusual. Both the Chinese and the Russian governments have warned their people to get ready for warfare. If you're preparing for war, you would want to stock up your blood banks to capacity. So my friend was asking me, how long can you store blood? And I said, well, it depends if it's whole blood or blood products. It's going to vary in what kind of storage facilities. I was talking to a doctor last night, one of my consultation clients. If you have access to absolute zero storage, you can store blood a lot longer, which is expensive and cost prohibitive for a lot of entities, shall we say. But that's kind of a side issue. The point is,
I've had mine in my refrigerator for a couple of weeks now. So go ahead.
Yeah. The point is, Doug, that China is preparing for war. And one of the ways they're preparing is to get their inventories of blood topped off right now. If they were planning to go to war a year from now, they wouldn't be asking for blood donations now. They'd be asking them for them maybe a month or two before warfare. I also know from my friend, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, who has a video on my website, that the Chinese, what they call the People's Liberation Army Navy, it's very clever, has a hospital ship. Not unusual, but this hospital ship is a converted super tanker. These guys, there's some things they do, they don't mess around. Now, I don't know the capacity of patients and staff of a super tanker, but it has to be in the many of thousands for capacity of patients and staff and crew to take care of all the things that need to be taken care of for that many people on a hospital ship.
When you said super tanker, my mind automatically went to a blood storage thing. I don't know why, but go ahead.
That's okay, Doug. Yeah. Sometimes your mind does those things.
Yeah.
And anyway, Doug, we have these discussions about COVID-19 and COVID-19 clot shots, but behind it is the People's Liberation Army.
Yep.
Behind it is World War III. We're in World War III right now. Yep. On the 6th day of December, 2021, we're at war. It's not obvious to almost anybody. You know, our listeners, men and women who pay attention to alternative media, we know. But the majority of the American public doesn't. We are probably at best, maybe 3 to 5% of the adults in this country are paying careful enough attention to the alternative media. So Doug, evidence of this is on my website, the speech by the Chinese Minister of Defense, the top Chinese general, not meant for release even to the Chinese people, let alone to the American public. Our intelligence service got a hold of it, translated it. It's on my website. It's a number of years old. But the Chinese defense minister says really, really clearly that they intend to use biological warfare in this war against the United States. They intend to colonize the United States and have no Americans when they do colonize America. Biological warfare is one of the more efficient ways to eliminate populations. And if you can convince the population to voluntarily inject themselves with poison that will kill them, well, the Politburo of China, I'm sure, is having champagne toast with strawberries to celebrate Americans killing themselves. And that's exactly what's going on, Doug. Americans are killing themselves.
Well, you and I, yes. And I agree about the efficiency of this and the mass psychosis of this and the fear as a market about this. About the coronavirus. I've got no doubt that there was some tweaking done, again, that the funded by Dr. Fugazi and Ralph Baric and others and Xi Zheng Li at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I've got no doubt about that. So and that was going back 10 plus years, even longer, when patents were filed under the veterinary side of things back in the 90s. So they've been playing around with this for quite some time. And you were right when you mentioned about the vaccines came first. Again, think dual use laboratories, but also think nefarious intent. But John, think back in 1976, we had that swine flu business in 1976. It was a bogus swine flu pandemic. Remember how Fauci at that time, not Fauci, but Fauci was, at that time in 76, he was the chief of NIAID's clinical physiological section of the Laboratory of Clinical Investigation. He was a frontline spectator, really, during the NIH's bogus swine flu pandemic. The reason I said all of this is because when they rolled the vaccines out for the swine flu, massive failure, a lot of damage, and they used fear as a motivator. They said, look, 50 million people died from the Spanish flu in 1918. Get vaccinated. Kind of like a replay today, a predictive play for today, that is. So President Ford, he appeared on TV urging everybody to get vaccinated. Again, making 1918 flu references, killed 50 million people. Of course, we know that's bacterial problems from masks caused that injury. So at any rate, there was an issue with the vaccines. They pulled the vaccines and everyone shut up and went away.
Doug, I personally know people that have had their and are still alive that have had their lives absolutely destroyed by the swine flu vaccine.
Yeah.
I came really close to getting a swine flu vaccine myself. My first wife, who was a registered nurse, she says, John, you really don't need that. And thank you. I didn't get it. Only 32 people, I think that's the number, died from the swine flu vaccine that we're aware of. They stopped it.
32 you're 100%. 49 million. Now listen to these numbers. 49 million people got the jab, a swine flu jab in 76. 32 died. 500 cases of degenerative nerve disease. More than 400 paralyzations. And 4,000 other undisclosed, unspecified injuries. That was from 76. And they stopped it. They pulled it right then. But
right. Well, yeah. Here's the numbers from Stu Peter's show as of 3 days ago from the COVID clot shots. Dead, 18,853. Hurt, injured, 894,143. Hospitalized, 94,537. Miscarriages, 2,996. Permanently disabled, 30,100. These numbers are off the charts, scary, Doug. And the fact they've been able to conceal it this long is certainly a tribute to their ability to control the narrative, to control the mainstream media. As I mentioned earlier in this show, I'm reaching out through people I know privately to get the real numbers of new caskets being built percentage-wise over and above what they would have had a year or two ago, the number of funerals over and above what would be normally taking place percentage-wise over a year or two ago. The numbers we're getting so far are scary, running about across the board, about a one-third increase in casket building, about a one-third increase in funerals. Doug, we're already experiencing the kill-off. This reminds me of the Trail of Tears, where the surviving Cherokee Indians said they took away our past by killing the older folks. They took away our future by killing the babies. And that's what's happening here. We're losing our past by killing off the older folks. We're losing our future by putting the clot shots into the most vulnerable people in our society, our children. This is criminal, Doug. It's clearly mass murder on the part of Anthony Fauci, the pharmaceutical companies manufacturing these drugs, and everybody involved, either knowingly or unknowingly, is involved in mass murder, Doug. Everybody involved, from the scientist developing it to the person who's injecting the clot shot into the innocent arms of innocent people. And it needs to come to an end. I hope that this broadcast you and I are doing, Doug, will direct people to my website to get the information they need to educate themselves, to be able to warn others. Don't get the clot shot. If you do have it and you did get it, don't get the boosters. There's a strong likelihood that only one third of the clot shots have the poisonous juice. The other two thirds don't, which is why not everybody's dropping dead. If you're one of the lucky ones who didn't get the juice the first shot, don't get the booster. We use the analogy, Doug, of a Russian roulette, where a person takes a six-shot revolver, puts one live cartridge in one chamber, spins a cylinder and points it at their head and pulls the trigger. That's a very good analogy, except you start out with two live rounds instead of one. And the second time you put in two more rounds, and the third time the revolver is full. The revolver is full of live rounds, and there's no chance whatsoever of you surviving it. That's a great analogy. It's very graphic and brutal, but putting poison in your bloodstream is graphic and brutal also.
Okay.
Don't do this to our children. Please don't do this to our children.
Well, yeah, I mean, please don't do it. 28 million 5 to 11-year-olds, and you got Warren Wilhelm Jr. over there in the five boroughs saying, yeah, every 5 to 11-year-old is going to get it, regardless, period. That's it. If this doesn't make us rise up, I don't know what will. Now, this, you started out by talking about Stu Peters having Dr. Ariana Love on. This is a screenshot. And folks,
right.
Okay, now look at that lower third there. Moderna patent uncovers horror. Now, as you scroll through that video, which that segment I think is like 13 and a half minutes long, as you scroll through that, there are pictures of this nanosensors. Okay, by the way, I apologize, Dr. Love, for capturing it right there. That's not a flattering picture, but
not a very flattering photo. But, yeah, but, okay.
So, at any rate, my question is, what do we do here? What's the intent here for those nanos? Let's just say, and I believe this to be the case because she cites sources.
Well, we can't tell the intent, I'm no radio frequency engineer, but I can tell you that a wireless nanosensor is meant to receive a radio frequency signal and then do something. I can tell you that much. What it does when it receives a signal, I don't know. But I can tell you that much with a great amount of certainty, that a wireless nanosensor is meant to receive a radio frequency signal and then do something, X, Y, Z. I don't know what it is, Doug. I know it can't be good.
No.
Can't be good at all. It's something that's going to be harmful to human beings, harmful to our society, kill people. I don't know. But I know it's not good.
Well, no, I agree. And that was, in that video, that was not a topic, or that wasn't, they didn't arrive at any necessary conclusion either. Although they, in that video, you could see the radio frequency weapons, microwave weapons as well on ships. They exist. In fact, we talked about it in the Patreon meeting last night. But John, you know, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at what can we do? What must we do to put these people down? We have to stop this.
We save the ones that we can. One of my favorite scenes in the film, The Day After Tomorrow, the scientist who is near death from being frozen, just off the coast of England, is communicating with the paleoclimatologist in the United States about the soon to happen event, and the scientist who's about to die says, save the ones that you can. That's where you and I are, Doug, and our audience.
Oh, man.
Save the ones you can.
Well, does it make you think, John, and this is just you and I talking over a hypothetical beer here, does it make you wonder about these parents who crying with joy, oh boy, you know, I can get my 2-year-old the shot. I can get my infant the shot. What are they thinking? Or have they been so brainwashed that, I mean, there's no hope for these people. I guess.
There's not. Doug, I was able to attend a home church recently, about a dozen families, mostly childbearing age, with anywhere from 3 to 8 children per family, healthy, well-behaved, alert children. And it gave me hope that in the heartland, there's still a lot of activity of men and women of childbearing age raising great, healthy children. Another aspect of Americana, there's a TV series named Yellowstone with Kevin Costner as a star. And I was watching a recent episode, and I came to realize that there's a whole subculture in the United States involving the West and horses and horsemanship that I had no idea even existed.
You know, I've been several people have said you've got to watch Yellowstone. I've seen it, but I've never watched. I've seen the on schedule, but I've never watched it. Interesting. Okay. All right. John, you're frozen, brother. You are frozen in time. We're going to have to reboot here, or not reboot, but get you back. I hear all kinds of stuff happening in the background. Well, that's all right, John. Hold that thought, man. We're going to get you back. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network, as well as on Rumble. Please subscribe to us on Rumble and or Brighteon. You can comment and stuff on both platforms. All right, here we have John back.
All right, I'm back.
All right, John.
I apologize. We had some technical difficulties. But Doug, it's not productive for us to anguish over the stupidity of many Americans. Let's take joy in the Americans who are awake and alert and educated and will do the right things because they are awake and alert and educated. Let's focus on those folks. Let's focus on our listeners who are awake and alert and educated. And I'm asking all of you right now on the 6th day of December 2021 to educate yourself so that you in turn can educate others. Every person you can miss to either not get the clot shot or the clot shot booster is potentially a life saved. If they got the first clot shot, they may not be salvageable. We don't know that. We do know that every booster they get is a dramatic reduction in their chance of being healthy and surviving. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleading with you. Do what you can. Educate yourself so you can make educated and informed arguments to people who may be considering getting a clot shot, may be considering getting a booster. You may be successful, you may not. But every success you have is a life saved. And there's a lot of value there in saving lives, Doug. I've saved lives in my career as a homicide detective.
Yep.
I know you've saved lives in your career, Doug.
Yep.
And it's very satisfying, very gratifying to be able to save a life. And all of you listeners out there have the same opportunity right now to save lives by educating yourself so you can become a mentor of somebody to help educate them to not get the clot shot, not get the clot shot boosters, and save lives, Doug. This is not a figure of speech. This is literally a matter of life and death worldwide, right now. Not sometime in the future, but right now. And if people are being threatened with losing their job, you can always get another job. You only get one life. I know people that have very high-paying jobs in very highly specialized areas, such as being engineers. I know several engineers at Boeing, for example. There's no other place they can easily get a job to make that kind of money. That doesn't exist. However, their families aren't going to benefit if they're dead. So you have to take a job at half the pay. So be it. Do what you got to do. Your family wants you alive. Even if the income's gone, your family wants you alive. So do what you got to do to avoid the clot shot. Let them fire you. Don't quit. You give up all your rights if you quit on your own. Let them fire you. Then you've got legal standing at some point in the future for legal action. If you quit on your own, you've given up most of your rights. So let them fire you. Make them fire you. If that's what it takes, if you're in New York City or working for Boeing or the military, whatever it is, let them discipline you. Let them fire you. Then you've got standing in court, don't you, Doug?
Yes, absolutely. What we saw, and although this is being reported on by the corporate media, not the whole story is being reported. Okay, so this is, I think this is like a 40, 4-second clip or something like that. This is from Leesburg, Virginia. The police officers. Now, in this case, they said no. They said no to the mandates. You know, the police department, and they left. They walked off. In fact, they took up offers. Several took up offers elsewhere. Now they're downplaying the numbers on this because the numbers are more than what are being portrayed here. But if you don't mind, we've got about 19 minutes, 18 minutes left of the show. Let's take a look at this 48 second clip on Leesburg, Virginia. This is what happens. This is how we can impact, by just saying no, we can impact the world around us. Go ahead and play that if you can. Clip four.
To decimate LPD.
Weeks after this Leesburg police officer warned of the impact of the city implementing a vaccine mandate, on Saturday, WUSA9 received city data showing the department has lost 7 officers since the town council voted for the mandate, nearly 8% of sworn police. A city public information officer says 4 officers resigned due to the decision. 2 others left for different jobs, but the PIO wrote, "We assume the mandate played some role in their decision to resign."
4 to 6 officers. It sounds really small, and it sounds like it wouldn't make an impact. But when you're dealing with a town like Leesburg that only has about 56,000 people, that makes a big impact.
Library Advisory Commissioner Paul Coyer has spoken against the plan, saying that getting a vaccine should be a personal decision.
And this comes down to a personal choice, and I do think that medical autonomy is important.
WUSA9 reached out to the Leesburg mayor and all town council members on Saturday and received a response from Councilwoman Suzanne Fox. She opposes the mandate, writing in a statement, quote, "It's almost as if we assumed that everyone who told us they would resign was all just bluffing. We may be finding out the hard way that this was no bluff, and unfortunately, it's the residents of Leesburg who will ultimately suffer a decrease in services as a result." The resignations come as police departments across the country deal with staff shortages. Okay, Leesburg police told them.
But see, John, isn't that something? So the mayor and the town council there says, well, you know, it's sad because it's the people who are going to suffer. Well, it's because of their moronic, idiotic, unscientific, arbitrary mandates. And here we go. So we can, you know what, we can make a difference by saying, no, we're not going to take this Fugazi vax shot. No, we're not going to do it. And there it is. Impacting heavily public safety in Leesburg, Virginia, and other places across the country. This is what we can do.
Well, a credentialed law enforcement officer can find employment in a heartbeat.
Yep.
And that's what's going on now. The state of Florida, I believe, was discussing providing a $5,000 stipend for officers that left other jurisdictions because of the mandate to come to Florida. I don't know what the status of that legislation is, on one hand. On the other, the police officers I know tend to be bright men and women, resourceful, tough physically, tough mentally, and they'll be fine. They will hit the ground running. It'll be another department. They'll start their life over in another jurisdiction that doesn't have these mandates.
But meanwhile, the town, though, the town, you know, public safety. Oh, my gosh, it's a crisis for public safety. But, John, it's one of their own making because of these arbitrary, draconian and tyrannical and even unscientific mandates. Go ahead.
Well, I'm disappointed only 8 officers. If 8 is 8%, if that's what they said, it would be 100 officers.
Yeah, but there's more. I'm telling you right now, there's more. Okay.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
What would be beneficial for our effort, and I know there's a lot of police officers listening to this show, would be for all the officers to resign together publicly at the same time, offering a press conference to any media that would show up, which they may or may not show up, but making it a public display of, and with a representative, a spokesperson saying, We're resigning immediately, and this is why. We're resigning because of these COVID clot shot mandates. That would have a bigger impact than these individual quiet resignations. And if you're with a police department, a fire department, paramedics, and you're facing the same thing, you all know each other. You know who's not going to get the clot shot. You know who's going to resign or be fired. It would be even better, as we discussed a moment ago, Doug, for all these officers to say, no, we're not going to resign. We're going to let you fire us. That would even have a better impact, I think, and give the officers better legal standing. Doug, what do you think?
Well, you know, yeah, and I agree with that. There's a disconnect here as well, John, that I find disturbing, because a lot of the police officers there's two things I find disturbing, actually. Number one are the police officers who are enforcing the mandates, saying, I'm just following the orders, enforcing the statutes, right? Not law, but these arbitrary mandates. That's number one. I find that very disturbing. The second thing I find disturbing out of all of this is who will be replacing these officers who refuse to comply and the mandates are still in effect. Those people who comply with the agenda of the mandates. And what does that happen? You know, at that point, are we just reformatting our police departments to make them robots of a tyrannical, despotic kind of leadership? Is that what we're doing? I mean,
that's a strong possibility, Doug. But let's look at the profile of officers. Typically, they would be on the low end about 22 years old, and the high end, I guess, 65. A lot of officers on the lower age level fit the profile of those most at risk: athletic, healthy, young males. Who it's pretty common for younger officers in their 20s and 30s to be involved in touch football, soccer, all kinds of very athletic activities, fitting the profile of men who have severe heart issues. Heart issues seem to be the one thing that is very ubiquitous among people who get the clot shot. And these young men who are athletic, involved off duty and playing soccer, basketball, baseball, whatever it might be, they're certainly more at risk of suffering severe heart issues than the general public. That's going to be showing up soon.
Yeah.
It's going to be showing up very soon. And of course, it won't, when the 25 or 30 year old officer is playing soccer off duty and collapses or dies, it will not be attributed to the clot shot. It'll be, oh, he had an unknown heart condition that went undiagnosed and undetected. That's what they're going to say publicly, when reality is the clot shot is what killed him.
And to that end, now we've got about 8 minutes left of the show. So to that end, John, you are tracking down, you are conducting an investigative research into excess deaths by seeing, actually, this is pretty.
Doug, we've never had a 30% increase in funerals and casket sales ever in 1 year. That's never happened ever.
No,
and
it hasn't.
If that's proven to be true, which I suspect now will be, we're in the middle of a very severe kill off here, very severe.
But won't the officials declare this? Well, you know, it's the new, more deadly variant as opposed to anything else, because they're never going to admit that it was the jab that did this, right?
No, they can't. But word will get out, as I mentioned earlier. The beauty shops, the barber shops, and churches, and people's homes, at the workplace. And here's the challenge that the powers that be have, is to get ahead of the curve and get as many people get the clot shot as possible before word of mouth spreads around that this stuff's killing people sufficiently that people stop getting the clot shot initially or no longer get the boosters. The plan is to get 8 boosters, and I understand the People's Republic of China has 50 variants. They've only released 2 of them so far, 50 variants. And it'll keep releasing them every few months to encourage people to keep getting the boosters. 8 boosters, 5 months apart, that's 40 months, just over 3 years. That's what it's going to take to kill off the people they want to kill off with the clot shots and the boosters, is 8 boosters total. And our job, your job, and my job, Doug, once again, I know I'm repeating myself, but no apologies. Educate yourself, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a broadcast journalist. I'm no longer a homicide detective. I'm now a broadcast journalist. And my website, under the COVID panels, has dozens of articles and videos by world-class scientists, world-class doctors, including one doctor who got a prize for his work in virology, international prize. And people like Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of research at Pfizer. You don't find better credentials than that, Doug. You really don't. And no. Those credentials will stand up against anybody you want to match them up against, anybody.
Yeah, and folks, please bookmark thelibertyman.com, his website. He's got a lot of great information, a lot of great videos, a lot of great papers there. That's thelibertyman.com. And while you're there, make sure you support all his products and support John Moore himself in his endeavors. You know, I like to consider myself an investigator with a microphone as opposed to a broadcast journalist. But regardless of what you call us, I think that we're sounding the alarm bells that this is the final throes. We're in the fourth quarter of this New World Order takeover. And I think it's going to become pretty damn clear to people exactly what their intent is, what their agenda is. And there's still going to be people that won't see it. And you know what? What you said earlier, I agree with you. You have to save who you can, leave the others. This is a great big triage thing taking place. And you know what? It's our job, I think, to awaken the lions, not the sheep. Awaken the lions among us and not the sheep. But
we awaken the lions and warn the sheep is what we do, Doug.
Yeah. If the
That's
sheep
exactly
can,
what we're doing.
Yeah, if the sheep can want to hear it. But you know, one last thing, John, and then you can have the rest. I just... you know, we heard, okay, what are they going to do? Force us to wear masks? What are they going to do? Force us to get the shot? What are they going to do? Force us to stay, you know, home and force us to shut down our businesses? Yes, 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 and yes. And we are now to the point where that this is a never-ending situation. This is like a bad nightmare, John, and you're exactly right.
A never-ending Twilight Zone episode.
Yes.
A never-ending horror show. There is no end in sight. Hopefully there will be an end. Obviously, at some point there will be, but I can't see it at the moment. They're going to continue this as long as they're able to kill off Americans. And so far, they're on the winning side. I see the possibility. I agree with Cliff High that the whole thing is about to fall apart. Keep in mind, Doug, that desperate people do desperate things. When they see they're losing, they may do something really desperate and even more evil than what they've done so far. Keep in mind, everybody, that ultimately this is a spiritual battle. That is ultimately what this is. Yes, there's all these other side parts to it and components, but ultimately it's a spiritual battle that we're in here, Doug.
Well, I'll tell you, I've got to remind people, and sometimes I've got to remind myself how much of a spiritual battle this is. You know, there are people out there that discourage the description of a satanic kind of battle. They discourage it because it sounds really unnecessary to really context or put that in that context, but that's exactly what this is. And I think my last question here in the last 6 minutes we've got, John, is there a transhumanist component to this? In other words, I keep going back to what you mentioned earlier about that, about the...
Well, we need to define what transhuman is. First of all, it's where a normal human being becomes something else.
Yeah.
At the core of who we are is our DNA. If a person's DNA is changed, they're no longer a normal human being. If you accept the clot shot, your DNA is being changed. So you're no longer a normal human being. You become something else. The word that's being chosen is transhuman. And in the few minutes we've got, we can't get to any useful discourse on that. It's enough to say that that is real, that you don't want it to happen to you or anybody you care about, and it's too late. You can't be unvaccinated. That can't happen. But it's not too late to warn those who have not been vaccinated. You may save a life by warning a person who got the vaccination not to get the clot shot. They still aren't necessarily a full-fledged human being in the traditional biological, scientific sense of the word, but we still got to save the lives we can. As far as I'm concerned, a human being is still a human being. I don't know that being a transhuman is something that I would regard in any personal interaction as less than human. They may have some deficiencies in terms of what they can and can't do anymore, they may be controllable through this wireless technology, or harmed by the wireless technology. We simply don't know yet, Doug, other than it's bad.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I would urge everyone to watch that video. John, I want to thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, you've done a lot of research on this. And John, we have to, again, as you said, that we have to do our own triage with the people around us. We have to save who we can, and sadly walk away from those who refuse to know the truth. Folks, I want you to please bookmark thelibertyman.com and check out all of the intellectual material that he's got on his website. John, is there any specific thing that you want to point out on your website at all here in the last couple of minutes that we got? Is there any one, if,
well, I do help people with private personal consultations, helping people get the clarity, gain the focus, get the information they need to achieve their goals and in goal setting. And, I just did one over the weekend with two doctors from, Philadelphia, and, I like doing those. I look forward to them, and helping people is just gives me joy to my heart.
How can someone set that up? Is it pretty clear?
Well, there's a link there at my website at thelibertyman.com. It's real simple.
All right. And folks, take advantage of that too. Click that link, get John in there, private consultation. But again, the web presence for John Moore, a great radio show every single day, weekday, 3 hours of bliss. Of information. I'm joking, but, drill down, okay, drill down and listen to the archives. There's a lot of information. And one thing that John Moore, that you've been is consistent throughout this entire, whatever you want to call it, this entire conspiracy. It is a conspiracy. So thank you for that. I appreciate you, John. I really do. Thank you for all.
Doug, it's always good to be with you. I look forward to being with you next Monday, sir.
Yeah. We'll do that. All right. God bless you, my friend. You have a great
Thank
day.
You.
All right, folks. That was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I've got to tell you, he's got a lot of great information on his website. And I use that as sourcing a lot of show prep and what have you. A lot of stuff from Dr. Mike Yaden, as he mentioned. That's for sure. In the closing moments that we have, I want to show you something. You know, clip three, if you don't mind, trust these phonies at your own risk. Now, I don't know who to credit, who put this together, but I will say this. If you listen carefully from start to finish, you're going to see the evolution of a lie. And this is what we've been looking at, haven't we, for the last several months, is evolution of lies. Go ahead and play clip three.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity.
Waning immunity, the evolution of the lie. There it is, folks. I want to just say thank you so much for tuning in. Spread this wherever you can. May God bless you, keep you safe. May God richly bless you until tomorrow. Have a great night. HagmanReport.com, by the way. HagmanReport.com. Good night.